Meet J. Elyon, an audio series adapted by Bill Bidiak.
Jay stepped into the Sanctum's media department, which surprisingly looked empty. He walked briskly into the broadcast room with rows of shelves bearing CDs and log files to see his old pal. Moss Scholl's shirt was soaked in sweat, and he was pacing the worn gray rug.
Thank Elyon you're here, Jay.
Moss grabbed Jay's shoulders and embraced him.
My boils would have let down here if you hadn't showed up.
You look like you've been under the Sahara sun for the last hour.
It's Mali's diner and their cost being soup.
What? Your wife doesn't cook anymore?
Moss was already out of the door and headed for the row of conveniences downstairs. Jay's vision rested on the black baseball bat leaning on the perforated speaker case. The baseball bat was part of Moss's collector's items.
Hey, Salem Riders playing tonight?
Yeah, baby!
15 minutes later, as Moss finished his business, he heard the PA system crackle and a voice that sounded like Jay's spoke calmly and boldly.
Listen up, all you hawkers in the House of Elyon. You have 5 minutes to vacate your stalls or face the wrath of Elyon's chosen. Listen up, all you hawkers in the House of Elyon. You have 5 minutes to vacate your stalls or face the wrath of Elyon's chosen.
Listen up. Jay's voice came again and again, repeating the message over and over like a recorded loop. Moss couldn't believe it. Jay was threatening the pre-redemption carnival fair. As he stood in the stuffy toilet, claws of fear gripped his heart and he felt the pangs of betrayal sink into his skin. Why would Jay do this to him? Sanctum announcement was a family heirloom and Jay had just taken away the only thing that kept his head up among Salemites. He pulled up his trouser quickly without bothering to wipe, hightailed out of the conveniences without flushing, and bounded up the flight of stairs three at a time. He rushed to the media department, but found the broadcast room locked securely. He turned round as a ruckus broke out downstairs. People were screaming and he could make out the sound of shattering glass. Then the recording coming from the PA system changed.
My sanctum is for worship, but you have all turned it into a shopping mall and a crime cartel. My sanctum is for worship, but you have all turned it into a shopping mall and a crime cartel.
What could Moss do? The power source for everything was housed underground in the Sanctum power grid on the east wing. Moss dashed downstairs at a speed that was alarming for a 42-year-old his size. When he reached the landing, he bumped into the Sanctum security guards, who in their rush to ascend the stairs did not recognize him. The last guard brushed Moss's arm with the butt of his submachine Beretta. The impact caused Moss to stagger, and he slammed his forehead on the metal door pane. He winced in pain, but couldn't wait to nurse the rising lump. The pain was nothing compared to the disgrace the syndicate of religious lawyers would subject him to if he didn't find Jay and stop this insanity.
My sanctum is for worship, but you have all turned it into a shopping mall and a crime cartel. My sanctum is for worship, but you have all turned it into a shopping mall and a crime cartel.
When Moss arrived at the East Wing, his heart skipped two beats at the sight before him. Jay, eyes blazing like the midday sun, swung a black bat at the mobile stalls on B Wing with the strength of 10 horses. Moss gasped. The bat was part of his collector's items. It cost 800 fars. What demon had possessed this young man with whom he had shared coffee with on nights too many to count at Jake's diner? This wasn't Jay. This was a demon in human flesh. Moss opened his mouth to scream as a sailing 2 feet aluminium frame landed on his flabby chest with a heavy thud and he winded out, falling to the floor. In the blur that followed, Moss took in the chaos around him. Scared merchants leapt over his thick frame while others tripped. The more he struggled to get up, the more he fell. So he just stayed down, covering his head. From the corner of his eyes, he saw Sanctum security guards sprint towards Jay, but oncoming human traffic defeated their intent. Meanwhile, Jay kept swinging as the recording looped. Jay had leveled three rows of stalls and was advancing upwards, swinging the bat with crazy swooshes and slamming anything that stood in his way. A whirlwind rose, picking up papers and electronic gadgets and scattering the far notes as Jay gutted the bureaus to change. Sanctum security guards couldn't fire at him for fear of hurting innocent merchants and buyers gathered in the courtyard. More importantly, some of them were scared because Jay had transformed into an alien-like being. His muscles bulged. He glided across the concrete floors instead of walked. His skin glowed and his long hair swayed behind him, being lifted like the wind. Every strike he delivered created a force field that rocked everything in its path up to 20 meters away. The force field caused more damage than the swinging bat. Moss shut his eyes as the waves from the force field tossed him towards a pillar. He collided with the struggling frame of a guard running past the pillar. They both crumbled to the floor and lay there, dazed. Moss shut his eyes, praying this nightmare would end. Meet Jay Elion is an audio series based on the novel Jesus in Jeans by Bill Bediak. Look out for entry 2. Meet Jay Elion is brought to you by L Vision Studios, produced by Osho Briggs Omonohwa, narrated by Sheung Ajayi, performed by Godwin Osakwe and Bill Bediak.